ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Since I was in Rath Yatra recently in Jagannath Puri, I thought that today I'll speak on Lord Jagannath. So I'll leave this verse for tomorrow. Today we can speak on Lord Jagannath. How many of you know who Lord Jagannath is? Or how many of you do not know who Jagannath is? Raise your hands. So everybody knows who is Lord Jagannath. How many of you don't understand English and need in Hindi translation? Hindi anuvad ka zarurat hoga aapko class ke liye? Agar matajiyon mein Hindi anuvad ka zarurat hoga? नहीं. अच्छा, अगर है तो विशुअली यू कैन ट्रांसलेट. विशुअली माता जी वहां बैठे हैं पीछे, उनके पास, उनके बाजू में. अच्छा ठीक है, और यू कैन कम क्लोज टू देम. जिनको हिंदी में अनुवाद का जरूरत है वहां बैठिए. और फ्रॉम दिस साइड एनीबॉडी नीड्स, किसी को हिंदी जरूरत नहीं है. वेरी गुड. ओके, हरे कृष्णा. So, Lord Jagannath is Krishna Himself. Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. The Lord Jagannath, the word Jagannath means the Lord of the universe. Jagat Nath, Jagannath. The Lord of the entire Jagat, entire universe. Krishna's pastimes generally has three aspects. Brajalila, Vrindavan pastimes, Mathura pastimes, and Dwarka pastimes. Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. Krishna stayed in Vrindavan until his Koishor and Navajovan age, that is, until he was about 15. Then he left for Mathura. Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura on an invitation by Kamsa. Kamsa actually wanted to kill Krishna, and when all the efforts failed, then Kamsa decided to bring Krishna to Mathura, and then he thought that he would kill him there. That also leads to another very beautiful incident. I'll briefly discuss about that. Now, since I mentioned, one of the last demons that Krishna, that Kamsa sent to kill Krishna in Vrindavan was Keshi demon. Keshi was a very powerful demon. So one day Keshi came to Kamsa, and he saw that Kamsa was very depressed. There was rings around his eyes. His face became shriveled up. He was often shuddering. And his body bent down, hunched back. So seeing him in that condition, Keshi asks, hey Kamsa, what happened? Why are you in such a condition? Then Kamsa he said, no, it's alright, nothing is wrong. Keshi insisted, please tell me what happened. Then finally Kamsa told him that, look, this Krishna is killing all my associates. I've been trying to kill him. I've been sending all these very powerful associates of mine, like Trinavarta, Shakatasura, Aghasura, Bakasura, Arishtasura, and all of these asuras who are so powerful that even the demigods tremble with fear just by hearing their names, and this little boy Krishna killed them all. Then Keshi said, oh, that is your anxiety. Okay, I'll go and kill Krishna. Then Kamsa said, look, Keshi, it's not that easy to kill him. So many of my associates have gone there and they all failed. They all went to kill Krishna, but they all came back dead. So, and Keshi said, well, he said, this is Keshi. I am so powerful, I'll kill this Krishna. Then when Keshi started to brag like that, then Kamsa told him, okay, if you want to give it a try, then go. But be very careful, I tell you, this, although he's only a 14-year-old boy, but he's extremely powerful. He must have some sort of mystic power. Maybe in his previous life he performed many austerities and performed yoga siddhis, and that's why he is so powerful. So be careful. And Keshi said, don't worry, I will take care of him. So then Keshi went to kill Krishna. What happened when Keshi went to kill Krishna? Keshi assumed the form of a horse. He went in the form of a horse, big, gigantic horse. And so seeing Keshi, when Keshi was putting his feet, feet on the ground, the whole earth was shaking. He was such a powerful person. And his form was so big that seeing him coming like that, whining loudly and fire coming out of his eyes and mouth. So Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys, when they saw him, they became very afraid and they came to Krishna and said, Krishna, Krishna, look what is there. He's coming to kill us all. And Krishna said, don't worry, I will take care. So you stand behind me. Saying that, Krishna just went forward. And then Keshi came charging, huge form, with his mouth wide open. He came to charge, to attack Krishna. Then what did Krishna do? Krishna just punched him on his face with his left hand. Not only his face, with his left hand. Krishna didn't even use his right hand. And he put his hand right up through his mouth, Keshi's mouth. And Keshi felt that his whole life here is about to leave his body. Then Krishna grabbed him by his hind legs. And then Krishna started to swing him over his head. Huge body of this demon. And what happens? You swing the thing for some time and then you let it go. Did you ever try it? As a child, sometimes they play with, like take a rope, tie it with a stone, and then swing it and then let the stone go. It goes a long way, right? So it gathers momentum. So he threw that Keshi demon after swinging overhead for a while. And what happened? Keshi went flying. Keshi's soul left his body and his dead body went flying all the way from Vrindavan, it went to Mathura. And it landed right in front of Kamsa. And Kamsa became surprised. What is that? And by the time, Keshi's body became just a lump of flesh. There was no shape in that body. It was like a minced meat. And when it landed in front of Kamsa, Kamsa became surprised, and then he noticed, he saw a lump of flesh with blood oozing from it. And after careful investigation, Kamsa realized that it was Keshi's body. And Kamsa he started to display great fear and anxiety. So then, Hare Krishna, these two of you, there in the youth program, कहाँ थे तुम लोग? वो अभी अभी आए हैं. अच्छा, कहाँ से आए हैं? गांव से. So Keshi's body went flying. I mean, Kamsa became very, very afraid. And at that time, Vasudeva was there, Krishna's father. And seeing Kamsa's condition, there was a smile in Vasudeva's face. And Kamsa became very angry. He said, "Here is my enemy." Saying that, Kamsa pulled out his sword. And he was about to kill Vasudeva. He said, "Here is somebody who derives great joy in seeing my distress. My loss is his gain. So who is he? He is my enemy." So he just pulled out his sword and he was about to kill Vasudeva. At that time, Narad Muni just appeared there. And said, "Narada, Vasudeva, Kamsa, what's happening? Why are you so upset?" And Kamsa told all that happened. Then Narad Muni said, "Look, Vasudeva is not the cause of your distress. It is Krishna who is causing you all the anxiety. By killing Vasudeva, what will you gain? Rather, Krishna will become even more angry with you. And God knows, Krishna only knows what Krishna may do to you if he becomes angry. So don't kill Vasudeva, rather try to kill Krishna. He is your enemy, not Vasudeva." So at that time, Kamsa actually put Vasudeva again in prison. And then Narad Muni told Kamsa that, "Look, Kamsa, your mistake is that when you know that your enemy is so strong, you should actually attack him with your full force. But instead, what you are doing, you are sending one after another person. And Krishna is killing them. But if you gather all your force together, all your strength together, and then attack Krishna, that will be the right thing to do." Then Kamsa asked Narad Muni, "So tell me, what should I do? I can't just take my army and attack these cowherd folks, because that will be a disgrace. What will the world say? They will say that I am such a powerful kshatriya, and I am fighting with Vaishyas, attacking their village. That will not be the right thing to do." So then Narad Muni said, you do one thing. You invite Krishna here. And you invite all your friends. Get all your friends together. Then Kamsa asked, "How shall I get all my friends together? Why will they come like that?" Then Narad Muni said, "You make an announcement that there is, you see, you have this bow of Lord Shiva, the bow of Lord Shiva. So you make a condition that whoever can string that bow of Lord Shiva, he will be, you will give him half of your kingdom. So then all of them will come, and when they come, then yes, you can attack them. Then they'll be here, and then you invite Krishna also, and then you jointly you attack Krishna. So then he asked, Kamsa asked him, and how should I invite, how should I bring Krishna here then? Then Narad Muni told that, okay, you tell Krishna that you are, there will be this big sacrifice, Dhanur Jagya, the sacrifice of the bow, and you invite Krishna also, Krishna and Balaram, and you can also say that there will be a wrestling match, so they can also participate in that. And so Kamsa said, look Narad, they all know that I am their enemy. Why they'll come to my invitation? Then Narad Muni said, you see, they may consider you to be their enemy, but they all have faith in Akrura. Because Akrura is a very saintly person. So you send Akrura. So that's why Akrura actually went to get Krishna and Balaram. So from now on you know the story, right? So Krishna and Balaram was brought to Vrindavan, Mathura from Vrindavan. And when Krishna and Balaram was being taken by Akrura, then the residents of Vrindavan was very heartbroken, and the gopis, they actually wanted to stop Krishna from leaving. But Krishna gave them the assurance, okay, I'll come back soon, don't worry. So then Krishna came, but for a long, long time, Krishna did not go back to Vrindavan. The gopis who could not bear the separation from Krishna even for a fraction of a moment, the time it takes to blink your eyes, and for that time, the fraction of a moment that they couldn't see Krishna, they were completely heartbroken. They criticized Lord Brahma, saying that what kind of body this Brahma has created? Look, this body has eyes that blinks. So that is not right. And during that time we can't see Krishna. So they couldn't bear the separation from Krishna even for a fraction of a moment. And for a long, long time the gopis did not have the association of Krishna. So they were in such anxiety, such distress. It was almost 100 years that the gopis didn't see Krishna. Krishna was away from Vrindavan. So much has happened after that. Krishna couldn't go back, because soon after that, after Krishna killed Kamsa and made Ugrasen the king, his grandfather, Ugrasen became the king, and then Vasudeva and Devaki were very happy to have their son back, and then they thought that this son of ours did not get any education, he has been brought up in the village of Vrindavan, so now he should have some education, otherwise he'll be illiterate. So they decided to send him to Avantipur in the house of Sandipani Muni, ashram of Sandipani Muni. Where is Avantipur? Avantipur is here. In the Avanti, Sandipani Muni used to have his ashram. So Krishna and Balaram came here and stayed here for 64 days. And in those 64 days, Krishna and Balaram mastered 64 different arts. He took one day for Krishna and Balaram to learn one subject completely. That's how brilliant they were. After all, Krishna and Balaram are... Who are Krishna and Balaram? Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, then, in the meantime, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, after Kamsa was killed by Krishna, and Jarasandha wanted to attack Mathura. So many times he attacked, but Krishna and Balaram defeated not only Jarasandha, there was Kamsa's accomplices, other accomplices like Shishupal, Dantavakra, Shalva, they were attacking. So then Krishna shifted his capital from Mathura to Dwarka. And then Krishna lived in Dwarka for many, many years. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Srila Sandipani Muni ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari. Because Sandipani Muni's ashram was here, that's why we have Sandipani Muni's murti on the altar next to Krishna and Balaram. So, now after many, many years, in the meantime, Kurukshetra battle was fought, Pandavas won the battle, most of the demons were killed. So, after about 100 years, Krishna and Balaram, along with the other Jadus and their sister Subhadra, went to Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a holy place. Kurukshetra is a holy place where people go for pilgrimage, especially on the occasion of solar eclipse. During solar eclipse, it is a custom in India to take bath in a holy place, especially in Samanta Panchak. So during that occasion of solar eclipse, the gopis went to Vrindavan along with the cowherd people of Vrindavan. Gopis went to Kurukshetra from Vrindavan. And there were many other Jadus also, many other cowherd boys also went, and they attended the solar eclipse to bath in Samanta Panchak. The next day when they were about to leave, they got the news that Krishna was there. Now you can well imagine what happened to the gopis. They are dying to meet Krishna, and they got to know that Krishna is there. So what did they do? They just ran to meet Krishna. Like, if there is someone who is very dear to you, whom you did not see for a long time, now if you get to know that that person has come back, is there, what will you do? Won't you run to meet that person, to see the person? So that's what happened to the gopis. So they just ran to meet Krishna. Now, just consider, there's someone who is very dear to you, you didn't see him for a long time, and you get the news that he has come, and you run to meet him, but when you go to meet him, then you see that it was not really him, it was somebody else. How will you feel? You feel very disappointed. So that's what happened to the gopis. The gopis went and went to meet Krishna, but when they saw Krishna, they saw it was not Krishna, it was someone else. Especially Radharani became very much heartbroken. She felt that this is not Krishna. Why did she feel that way? Because this was a prince. The way Radharani and the gopis knew Krishna is a cowherd boy. And she felt that this is not the same person, it's someone else. Because the Krishna that, this Krishna is, look, he's dressed in royal robes, wearing armors, carrying weapons, and he has a big crown on his head, and he's surrounded by so many royal entourage, and there are so many horses and elephants, they're making so much noise, and there's a noise of also armors and weapons clashing with each other. But the Krishna that I knew is a cowherd boy. That Krishna doesn't dress like this. I never seen Krishna dress like that. That Krishna wears a silk dhoti, he wears forest flower garland, garlands made of forest flowers. He has a peacock feather on his head, and he has a flute in his hand, and he plays the flute. The sound of that flute fills the entire forest of Vrindavan. So, when Radharani was feeling like that, the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan could understand what was happening in Radharani's mind. And they are very fond of, very dear to Radharani, they are very fond of Radharani. And when they felt like that, that she is so disappointed, they were thinking that this Radhika was practically dead due to the separation from Krishna. And now, when she meets Krishna, she is feeling in this way. So, what did they do? They decided that, okay, we must do something to give it for Radharani's pleasure. Thinking that, they just got hold of the chariot of Krishna. Krishna and Balarama was already up on their chariot. They were about to leave. They were already on the chariot. So, they got hold of the chariot along with the horses. And they started to pull the chariot towards Vrindavan. So how many of you have watched the chariot festival of Lord Jagannath? In Puri? No. Where did you watch it? Where did you see it? Television. Okay, so you saw the chariot festival. How many of you saw it in the TV? Okay. So, you saw how the festival was celebrated. Now, what does that festival indicate? It is the residents of Vrindavan met Krishna in Kurukshetra, and now they are taking Krishna to Vrindavan. That is the chariot festival. Now Krishna was there on the chariot, and Krishna also saw these cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, especially Srimati Radharani. And Krishna felt such intense love for them that his face became lit up with a beautiful smile. And his eyes became large like two lotuses. And he stretched out his hand in order to embrace the friends and from Vrindavan. And due to that, Krishna assumed such a unique form. And what happened? His whole body practically became his face due to his smile. He was so happy. And his eyes became large and his hand stretched forward. So that is Lord Jagannath. And Baladev and Subhadra also, in the mood of Krishna, assume the same form. So that is the chariot festival. Won't it be nice to have a chariot festival in Ujjain? It'll be nice? Okay, we are actually planning to have the chariot festival here also. And yeah, here the roads are wide, so we can have the chariot festival. We are probably will have it in September. Where should we take Krishna to? How far is Dasera Maidan? I think the biggest Maidan here is Dasera Maidan. How far is Dasera Maidan from here? How many kilometers? 3 kilometers. 2 kilometers. Okay, so we can take the chariot to Dasera Maidan. And there we'll have the festival of chariot. Okay. So, now this Jagannath has this, there are many scriptural descriptions of Lord Jagannath. One thing I just mentioned about the Rath Yatra festival. But Jagannath actually appeared to a king called King Indradumna. Do you know where was his capital? King Indradumna's capital? Who knows where was his capital? Yeah, Vrishali? Avantipur. And where is Avantipur? Here in Ujjain. So here also we have some connection between Jagannath and Ujjain. There was a king called Indradumna. He was a very powerful king. And King Indradumna wanted to have the darshan of the Lord. You see, King Indradumna was in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga. But in Treta Yuga, the Lord doesn't manifest His form as a deity. Do you know in which yuga the deity of the Lord appears? In Dwapar Yuga. Very good. Because in Dwapar Yuga, the Lord is worshipped in the temple through Dwapare Paricharjayam. Through the worship, the Lord is served in the age of Dwapar Yuga. Therefore, in Dwapar Yuga, the Lord appears in His deity form. But prior to Dwapar Yuga, there is no form of the Lord for worshipping. In Satya Yuga, how the Lord is seen? How does the devotee see the Lord in Satya Yuga? Do you know? No, in Satya Yuga. Yes. In Satya Yuga, the Lord, if one wants to see the Lord, he should meditate. And through meditation, he sees the Lord in the heart. When by meditation one achieves perfection, then he can see the Lord in the heart. Is the Lord present in everyone's heart? Who knows that the Lord is present in his heart? Please raise your hand. And, okay, did every hand go up? Is there anybody who thinks the Lord is not in his heart? Okay. So, everyone accepts that the Lord is in the heart. So, the Lord is in your heart, but you cannot see him. Why? Did you see the Lord? How many of you have seen the Lord in the heart? Why can't we see? Because with these eyes we cannot see inside. Right? So meditation is the technique by which we can see inside. By meditation what one does? He goes, he withdraws his senses from outside and he goes inside. Isn't it? And what is the purpose of meditation? The purpose of meditation is to turn your eyes inside and see the Lord in the heart. The purpose of meditation is to see the Lord in the heart. Now the eyes are this way. That's why what do we see? Only what is there outside. But if we can turn our eyes inside, then only we can see what is inside. So meditation is a process to turn our eyes inside and see the Lord in the heart. So that is the system of seeing the Lord in Satya Yuga. Now it's a very difficult job. Isn't it difficult? It's very difficult. So in Treta Yuga, people lose the ability to see the Lord in the heart. Therefore in Treta Yuga, the process is yajna. Tretayam yajate mokho. In the age of Treta, in Treta Yuga, the Lord is worshipped. The Lord is perceived through yajna. One would perform the yajna, and when the yajna is perfectly accomplished, if the yajna is successful, then the Lord will appear from the yajna and people would see the Lord. Now in Treta Yuga, one cannot see the Lord. But in Dwapar Yuga, yes, one can see the Lord in the temple. And this is how the deity worship is established in Dwapar Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, what happens? Do you know what happens in Kali Yuga? In Kali Yuga is by Hari Kirtan. Why? The Lord is there in the temple. Then why can't we are seeing the Lord? Then what's the use of Sankirtan? Why another process? We can see the Lord in the temple, right? But just seeing the Lord is not enough. We have to see Him with the right kind of vision. Like you know, Duryodhana was seeing Krishna. Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? Kaun hai? Supreme Personality of God. Was Krishna present 5,000 years ago? He was present on this planet, right? Krishna was present and many people saw Krishna. But did they all see Him as God? Duryodhan saw Krishna. But how did he see him? How did Duryodhan see him? Duryodhan saw him as his enemy. Because Duryodhan considered that Arjuna is his enemy and Krishna is with Arjuna, therefore Krishna is also his enemy. Jai Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Jai Shri Radha Madanohan ki jai. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. So just seeing the Lord is not enough. As I mentioned, Duryodhan also was seeing Krishna. But who did he see? Did he see Krishna? No, he saw his enemy. Similarly, in the age of Kali, most of us are actually like Duryodhan. Therefore, like Duryodhan means, just as Duryodhan was envious of Krishna, now we are also envious of Krishna. Therefore, even though we see him, we do not recognize him. How does one have to see the Lord? One has to see the Lord with his eyes anointed with love. Only when our eyes become anointed with love for Krishna, will be able to see him. Premanjanachurita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaivar hidayeshu vilokayanti. When you develop that love, then only will be able to see Krishna. So to see Krishna, we have to have our love developed for him. So that's why in this age the process has been given is Sankirtan. Chant the name of the Lord. And what is the mantra in this age? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. What does this mantra mean? In simple words, this mantra means, Krishna I love you, Krishna I love you, Krishna I love you, Krishna I love you, Krishna I love you. So in this way, when you keep on repeating, then what happens? Then one fine morning, you feel that you have fallen in love with Krishna. So that is why, in this age of Kali, this process is given. So when you the main objective is to develop our love for Krishna. And we chant the Hare Krishna, why? We chant, how many of you are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Raise your hand. Very good. Why are you chanting? Why are you chanting? Okay. What did I just say? What did I say just now? Yes, that's it. We're chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to fall in love with Krishna. Do you want to fall in love with Krishna? Do you want to fall in love with Krishna? If you fall in love with Krishna, then what will you do? Okay, very good. So we want to fall in love. And when you fall in love with Krishna, then how will you see? Then we'll see that this Krishna is the object of our love. The deity, we see that this is Krishna who we want to love. Who I am trying so hard to love. And in this way we develop a relationship with the deity. So, okay, let's go back now. Do you remember where I took off in a tangent? I took off in a tangent from King Indradumna. Right? King Indradumna wanted to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Treta Yuga, could he see Krishna? Huh? No, he couldn't see Krishna because Krishna's deity was not there. And his minister said that, you know, like, yes, you can see him by meditation, but you don't have the time. You are a king. So, King Indradumna was very heartbroken. He really wanted to see the Lord. But he did not know how could he see him. He was thinking, let me leave everything behind. Let me leave my kingdom behind and go to the Himalayan mountain or Vindha mountain and meditate upon the Lord. But the ministers and others were just holding on. No, you can't do that. And as a result of that, King Indradumna Maharaj was very much afflicted. He was ruling the kingdom, but his heart was not there. He was doing his duty, but he was not really into it. Then one day when King Indradumna was on the, in the assembly and discussing with his ministers how he could actually get to see the Lord, one pilgrim came there and he said that, "My Lord, if you want to see, oh my dear King, if you really want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is present in a place called Niladri. On top of a Niladri mountain, on the bank of the ocean, on the bank of the saltwater ocean. So if you want, you can go and see him." And the king was very excited. He just wanted to get more information from this person where the Lord is present as Nilamadhav, as he described. But before the king could even approach him, he saw that this person has left. Like, he just appeared, made the announcement and disappeared. So he again became very much afflicted. What happened? Where did that pilgrim go, that Brahmin go? No one could find him. So then the minister said, "Look, at least he gave the information that there is deity of Lord Nilamadhav. The Lord is present as Nilamadhav on the bank of the saltwater ocean on a Niladri mountain. So why don't you send? Let us send people to find out where the deities are. And then when you find the deity, then you can go and see the deity." So then the Lord sent, then the king sent all his, many of his brahmanas to find out where Lord Nilamadhav is present. But after some time they all came back. The only person who didn't come back is the head priest whose name was Vidyapati. Now in the meantime, Vidyapati, searching for Nilamadhav, came to a village of the Shabaras. Shabaras are the outcast, the people who are considered to be very low class. Shabaras, they are the hunters. And therefore they live near the forest. Their village, their residence is near the forest, and they are not considered to be very civilized or high class people. They are kind of considered to be low class people. Kirata Hunindra, Kirata Hunandra, Pulinda Pukkasha. So, Shavara is one of them, one such low class outcast. So Vidyapati came, very tired, hungry, exhausted, thirsty, came to this Shavara village. And he was happy to just find some habitation, human habitation. So he went to the village and he knocked at someone's door. And in that there was a beautiful young girl who opened the door, and she saw that here's a brahmana who was traveling and looks so tired. So she invited him to the house, and she disclosed her identity as the daughter of the king of the Shabaras, Vishyavasu. So when Vishyavasu, the king of the Shabaras, king means the leader of the Shabaras, came back home, he found that there is a brahmana as a guest in his house, he became very excited. Because for a low-class person to have a brahmana to come to his house is a very unusual thing. And so he was very happy, and he requested Vidyapati to stay in his house for a while and take rest. Then Vidyapati accepted that invitation. And then after a few days, with the Shabara leader, Vishyavasu, thought that he's such a handsome young brahmana and he's staying in my house, and maybe I should get my daughter married to him. Because I'm looking for a good husband for my daughter. So let us. So he asked Vidyapati to marry his daughter, Lalita. Then Vidyapati accepted, he agreed. Now, although the inter-caste marriage was not authorized in the Vedic time, or was not customary in Vedic time, but a man from a higher class could marry a girl from a lower class. That is called onulom marriage. A marriage that is acceptable according to the scriptural injunction. But a girl from a higher class will never marry a boy from a lower class in the Vedic society. A brahmana can marry a sudra girl, but a brahmana girl cannot marry a sudra. Sometimes some instance where a brahmana's daughter is given to kshatriya, that some instances are there, like for example King Jajati married Devjani. Devjani, the king, the daughter of Shukracharya. Shukracharya is a brahmana. His daughter was married to King Jajati. Anyway, so King Indradumna, Vidyapati, the brahmana, got married to Vishyavasu's daughter Lalita. And he used to notice that this Vishyavasu goes to some place at night, and in the morning when he comes back, he smells like a beautiful fragrance come out of his body. And he smells so good. So he asked Lalita, where does your father go at night? Then Lalita said, my father actually goes to worship Nilamadhav. So Vidyapati practically, as they say, hit the ceiling. He jumped with joy. What? Your father worships Nilamadhav? I want to see Nilamadhav. Lalita said, no. Father doesn't allow anyone to go and see Nilamadhav. He doesn't even allow take, he didn't even take me to see Nila Madhava. And he keeps it as a secret. Why it's a secret? Because if it becomes known that a Shavara is worshipping the deity of the Lord, then he'll be in trouble. In the Vedic culture, in the Vedic society, there's a very strict order of scriptural injunctions that only the Brahmanas can worship the deities of the Lord. Only the Brahmanas can study the Vedas. Brahmanas or high class Kshatriyas. Vedas are not meant for everybody. Of course, here again, this Brahmana is not according to birth, it's according to qualification. One has to become qualified to worship the deity of the Lord. But in the Vedic time, the society, the Varnas, social division was so strict and so pure that generally in a Brahmana family, a Brahminical person only be born. In a Kshatriya family, a Kshatriya, a personality with Kshatriya qualities will be born, generally. But if a non-Brahmana was born in a Brahmana family, he was not considered to be a Brahmana. For example, Ravana, you know, Ravana was whose son? A very exalted sage called Vishrava. But although Ravana was the son of a Brahmana, is Ravana recognized as a Brahmana? No, he is recognized as a Rakshasa. Similarly, there has been instances when someone who is not born in a Brahmana family has been recognized as a Brahmana. So, that is why Vishavashu did not let anyone know that he was worshipping Lord Nilamadha. Because he would be punished if everyone knew that. So Vidyapati wanted to go and see Nilamadhav. Lalita said, look, I can't tell my father to take you because I know he won't take you. And also he'll be very upset with me because I told you about Nilamadhav because he wanted it to be a secret. So now that I told you about Nilamadhav, I'll be in trouble. So Vidyapati kept on insisting, please go tell your father, please go tell your father. Then finally Lalita went and spoke to her father. Her father naturally was very upset. Why did you tell him? Lalita said, look, he's my husband. I can't keep any secret from him. It will be unjust, it will be unfair. If as a wife, I keep a secret from him, because husband-wife must have perfect understanding, no secret between them. So, then finally, Lalita convinced her father, yes, I will take you. Vishwavasu finally agreed, but I'll take him on one condition. He'll have to go to see Nilamadhav blindfolded. Why? So that he can't figure out where Nilamadhav actually was. So then, when Lalita told that to Vidyapati, Vidyapati said, okay, I'll go blindfolded. But give me some mustard seeds. So Lalita asked, why do you need mustard seeds? He said, I'll need the mustard seeds for worshipping the Lord. So Lalita gave some mustard seeds. And Vidyapati tied the mustard seeds on his cloth. Vishwavasu came, blindfolded him, and was taking him for the darshan of Nilamadhav. Now while going, Vidyapati, who took the mustard seeds, what he was doing? He was dropping the mustard seeds on the way. Why? Because in course of time, the mustard seeds will go into plant, and this way he would be able to figure out where he went. Very intelligent, yeah? He's a Brahmana. So, then when he went there, when he was taken there, and Vishwavasu went to collect the fruits and flowers from the forest, Vidyapati saw, he was sitting there, and he saw one crow fell from a tree in the nearby pond, dead. A crow died and fell from the tree onto the pond. And as soon as the crow touched the water, the crow's body touched the water, it assumed the forearm form of Vaikuntha form and went back to Vaikuntha. So Vidyapati was very surprised, and he realized that this place is so exalted, so spiritually potent, that even if one dies here, he becomes liberated. So he thought that, okay, let me give up my body here, then I'll attain liberation. So when Vidyapati was about to jump into that water to give up his body, he heard a voice saying, Vidyapati, this is not the time to give up your body. You have many, many things to do. Especially your friend, King Indradumna, is waiting for you to return. So you go and give him the information of finding me. So in the meantime, Vishwavasu came back, and when he was serving the Lord, preparing for his service, then he heard the Lord is speaking. He heard the Lord's voice saying, Vishwavasu, for many years I took your service. Now the time has come for me to leave you and accept the worship of King Indradumna. So, when Vishwavasu heard that, he became so upset. He thought that this Brahmana, Vidyapati, has conspired with the Lord, and it's because of him that the Lord now wants to go away from here. So he became so angry, he just jumped at Vidyapati and said, I'll kill you. You are trying to take my Lord away from me. In my absence, you had been conspiring with him and you persuaded him to go with you and accept the worship of King Indradumna. So I will never let it happen. I would have killed you, but because if I kill you, then my daughter will become a widow. I will not kill you. But I'll tie him up in the tree and let the wild animals come and eat you up. I won't kill you, but I'll make sure that you are dead. You can't go and take Nilamadhav away from me. So he did that. He tied him up with a tree. And when he reached home, Lalita asked, Father, where is my husband? And Vishwavasu told, your husband, I made the biggest mistake in my life getting you married to that Brahmana. So he is conspiring to take my Nilamadhav away from me. I'll never let that happen. So I left him in the forest, tied him up in a tree, and let the wild animals come and eat him up. So Lalita said, Father, you can't do that. He is my husband. Saying that, she went into the forest and she finally found Vidyapati and released him. And Vidyapati said, I have to go back to Avanti to give this message to the king. So you King Indradumna. And you don't worry, I'll come back and then I'll take you back with me. So Vidyapati then went back to Avanti and reported to King Indradumna. The king became very happy to get that news, and he got his entire soldier army to follow with him with all his paraphernalia and entourage. And when they came to that place, Vidyapati showed him by the time the mustard seeds, you remember? The mustard seeds were dropped. Now these mustard seeds have become plant. And by following those mustard plants, he came to the temple where Nilamadhav was. But when they came there, they found the deity was not there. Nilamadhav was not there. So the king thought that it was Vishvavasu who took the deities and kept the deities somewhere else. He was hiding the deities. So he started to interrogate, and he even started to torture the villagers. He was asking Vishvavasu. Vishvavasu wouldn't say anything. He was just silent. So the king then searched all the houses and couldn't find Lord Nilamadhav. Then he raided the village and said, okay, let me see. There won't be any supply of food from anywhere. Let us see for how long you can survive. And either you let me know where you have kept Nilamadhav hidden, or I will raid the village. So then, one day, King Indradumna had a dream, and the Lord appeared to him and told him, King Indradumna, why are you unnecessarily torturing these simple villagers? They have not taken me, and they are not hiding me anywhere. Actually, I myself have disappeared. This form of me as Nilamadhav will not be present anymore. Now I will come in different way. So now you go to the bank of the ocean and you will find that a log has come floating in the water. And you take that log and you carve my deities and you worship my deities. So King Indradumna immediately ran to the ocean and he saw that there is a huge log came floating. And he tried to take the log out of the water, but he could not. Then he tried with all his strength, his soldiers, his elephants, his horses, but they could not lift that log out of the water. Then, when the king was completely frustrated, then he had another dream. In that dream, the Lord informed him that if Vidyapati holds the log, the one end of the log, and Vishvavasu holds the other end of the log, then only you'll be able to pull that log out of water. So king immediately made arrangements to get Vidyapati and Vishvavasu. And when they went, they could very easily lift that log. Although thousands of elephants could not lift it, they just very easily lifted it and brought it to the queen's residence. King Indradumna's queen's name was Gundicha. So now king wanted to have some good carpenters, good carvers to carve the deity. And he called the best carvers to carve the deity. But all these expert carvers, as soon as they tried to work on the wood, their instruments broke. The chisel and hammer just broke. And so many people came, tried to carve, no one succeeded. Then finally, when the king was almost frustrated and disappointed, one old man came. He was very, very old. He could barely walk. He was so old. His body bent down. So he came and informed the king that he would be able to carve the deity. King said, look, you are so old. How will you carve the deity? And this is so heavy, this wood. And so many people tried, they all failed. And how do you dare to venture into this project? So then this old man said, look, I can do that. And then the king said, okay, so many people tried, so you can also give it a try. But this old carpenter, old carver, told the king, I have a condition for carving the deity. And the condition is, as long as I am carving the deity, no one would actually come and see my work. No one actually come into that room. So king agreed, and this carpenter was allowed to carve, and the king, in great anxiety, was standing outside the room, behind the closed doors, and he could hear the work is going on. So he was very happy that at least here is somebody who is carving. But then all of a sudden, one day, the sound of carving stopped. So then the king became very anxious, and then he just opened the door. And he saw there are three incomplete forms carved out of wood. They have been completed. So he felt so bad that it is because of his breaking the promise that the deity of the Lord will not be complete now. So the king decided to give up his body, just sitting at one place and not eating any food or even drinking anything. That is called priopobation, sitting to give up one's body. The king fasted like that for 3 days, and then the Lord appeared to him and told him, King Indradumna, don't you ever think that this form of mine is incomplete. I am eternally present in this form in the spiritual sky. And this form is my form. So you get some artists to paint my eyes and my face, you paint it, and then you install the deity and you worship that deity. So who are those three forms? Those three forms are Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. So therefore King Indradumna, rather we can put it like in this way, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra Maharani appeared to King Indradumna in Jagannath Puri, and that is how the worship actually started of Lord Jagannath. And then the chariot festival also started in Jagannath Puri. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani.